This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Last week, when several former state officials were charged by special prosecutors with crimes in the Flint water case, the most eye-popping part of the story may have been that Governor Rick Snyder was among those charged. Snyder was charged with two misdemeanors and pled not guilty. Since then, several prominent state officials and attorneys, including Michigan's former Attorney General Mike Cox, have argued that charging Snyder is a precedent-setting slippery slope that would defy the nature and purpose of government immunity. One of the attorneys warning of possible fallout is Mike Nichols, a Lansing-based lawyer who has represented several state lawmakers in court. Mike Nichols, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you.
Set the table for us. What is government immunity, and what's the legal footing that it occupies?
Well, you know, April, it's had a lot of discussion and public interest in the context of the racial justice movement and qualified immunity for law enforcement officers, which is a different type of immunity. That's immunity from a civil suit for acts that you undertake while you're basically on the job, so long as they're not grossly negligent. In this context, we're talking about charging somebody with a crime for decisions that they made, in this case of a public official, while in office. An incredibly slippery, the slipperiest of slopes, and to my way of thinking, very problematic. And especially as we look down the road, people have already started assessing, okay, what about some of the decisions that, for example, Governor Gretchen Whitmer has made during the pandemic?
You say that charging Rick Snyder is a slippery slope. Why do you say that? I mean, you mentioned Governor Whitmer and the choices being made during the pandemic right now, but why wouldn't you hold elected officials to that standard?
The reason is because, and I understand the great concern that you did this and lives were lost, and so you have to be held accountable. But the problem is, first of all, no one is going to want to hold public office at that level. And on a secondary level, if you're in public office, you're not going to want to make any decisions that have any risk whatsoever, even though the decision that you make that's risk adverse is completely contrary to what's in the best interest for public policy.
How can you know that? Might it not also be possible that elected officials would take the best legal and scientific advice that was available to them and then go ahead with making a decision? Would there not be legal defense possible based on that?
That question is premised on the idea that that did not happen in this case. Because, you know, data can be omnidirectional. And from having represented witnesses who were DEQ employees 3 years ago when the Todd Flood investigation, we'll call it, was ongoing, I can tell you, you know, without talking about inappropriate facts, but the data clearly was omnidirectional. And decisions that were made by people, from what I was able to see, while they may have not been correct or accurate all the way down the line, the point is, if you make a mistake when you're a public official, an office holder, or a civil servant, both of those categories included, you're protected from criminal prosecution, even if the result is really, really bad.
Mike, we had attorney Noah Hall on the program last week, and he worked on the Flint investigation for the state before being released by Attorney General Dana Nessel. And he made the point that we're not just talking about somebody making a mistake. He believes that prosecutors are going to be able to prove that there was a conspiracy and that he would hope that any decision by the courts would be based on that. He also said the charges are an important step to show that officials at all levels of government are not above the law. Does this case pose the same slippery slope problem if there is not, in fact, a conviction in the case?
Well, if there's not a conviction in the case, I contend that there will be no winners, because Rick Snyder and the others who've been charged, Nick Lyon and Howard Croft and the others, will have gone through such anxiety to deal with not just the criminal court and whether or not any of them are going to go to jail, but just the whole public specter and spectacle. And really, I think charging in this particular situation, unless I hear something different, I mean, even if there is a conspiracy, A conspiracy to do what exactly, I guess, is my concern. There's conspiracy all the time in politics.
Conspiracy to conceal what state health and environmental officials were actually saying to the public about the safety of their water.
I will say this, and I'm uniquely situated. I may not have as much information as Attorney Hall, but again, the data was not, it's not all pointing in one direction that this was the Flint River or the treatment plant. There were a lot of other sources that I think, you know, pretty hardworking and concerned civil servants were trying to figure out what that was. And from what I think we'll see, I'll put it that way, is that there was debate and discussion and no consensus about what exactly was going on. And the obvious concern going the other way is, you know, do we generate a needless public hysteria? Harken back to the mid-70s and Bill Milliken's handling of the PBB crisis. If history were to look back at Bill Milliken's mistakes that he made, and they were very similar to what your point was, that there was concealment or a lack of disclosure of the problem, you know, would we charge Bill Milliken with a crime for misconduct in office because he miscalculated when to disclose to the public exactly what was going on with PBB in the food chain? I think not.
I take your point about the concern that public officials might not want to serve, but is there any kind of tipping point in your mind at which the seriousness of the events merits a full serious consideration of how our elected officials are responding to them? I mean, I think people in Flint would argue that the distress of a public official or the concern of public hysteria can indeed be weighed against the distress of an entire community that has been suffering from the effects of lead poisoning and children whose brains have been truly damaged by this, and the fact that there is no medical intervention that's ever going to make their lives the same again, the deaths caused by Legionnaire's disease. In your mind, is there any line at which a government official should be held criminally accountable?
Well, the line is where the public official commits crimes that have absolutely no rational relationship to the duties of his office. The historical example that we have most recently is Richard Nixon and Watergate. That's the line.
Can you explain how you see what Rick Snyder's role was in this situation did not rise to that level? I mean, he was the sitting governor of the state.
What I have seen, both from having served as a lawyer as part of the investigation and from what I've read, and now this discounts things that may have happened after all of the investigation and the crisis, the perjury allegations for, you know, making knowing inaccurate statements under oath, setting that aside, okay. Mm-hmm. A lot of what I think we're going to hear and see is this was deliberation over what's the right thing to do. And if there's something that comes out that says, I think because the Democrats are going to make political hay about this, we need to let hundreds of people get sick and potentially die, and some did, then perhaps that's the differentiation. But I haven't heard or seen that yet, and I don't know that we will. And, you know, knowing Rick Snyder and the people who he surrounded himself with, I never perceived him to be that type of personality. He cared about the office and serving the state, you know, politics aside, not taking advantage of a situation where people were going to die and knowingly walking the other way and knowing the risk that decisions or lack of decisions, knowing that that risk was probably going to happen. I just don't think we're going to see that evidence.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Attorney Mike Nichols. We're talking about the state charges filed against Governor Rick Snyder and several other former state officials in connection with the Flint water crisis. Rick Snyder's administration was trying to get Flint on a path to financial solvency. Some critics of what happened in Flint, you know, really put that as the ultimate factor that led to the public health crisis. Do you see any difference, legally speaking, between the kind of compounded situation that unfolded in Flint and situations like the current pandemic that Governor Whitmer is dealing with, which is arguably more of a breaking emergent situation.
Right. The emergency manager debate is one that, I mean, I'm on the side of, I fear the emergency manager tool, because local control, as we saw in not just Flint, but other cities, is eviscerated, really, all with the objective of, quote unquote, cleaning up the finances of the city. But be that as it may, I don't know that we're going to see that kind of a cause and effect. When we're talking about Governor Whitmer, you know, again, and I should disclose, I'm a supporter of hers and have been for, you know, all the years she's been in office. You know, people disagree with her decisions, clearly. And I think people would probably roundly agree that not all of the decisions were the right ones. But she's trying to assess data in real time as an unprecedented, at least in our lifetime, an unprecedented pandemic and crisis is unfolding. I think Flint was similar. I don't want to minimize Flint, but that crisis was emerging, but on a, you know, perhaps smaller geographic scale, I guess we'll say.
Rick Snyder's attorneys have called these charges a cynical move by the state attorney general's office to politicize the question of who is accountable for what happened in Flint. But we should note that Republican Attorney General Bill Schuette, who had worked for Rick Snyder, was also investigating Flint and did file criminal charges in the Flint water case that are somewhat similar to what we've seen here, with the exception of Rick Snyder's name not being a part of it. Schuette was no friend of Snyder. Isn't there an inherent level of politics that's going to play out in any situation of this kind?
Absolutely. And the worst and the scariest degree of politics, because, you know, when you break this down, this is a political decision too, the decision by the jury. And I note that Brian Lennon, Mr. Snyder's attorney, who I've gone toe-to-toe with when he was an assistant U.S. attorney in the Western District of Michigan, raised the need for a change of venue. And that is absolutely the first move that I would have made if I represented any of the 10 people who've been charged.
If this is not the way to get accountability for the people of Flint who've been waiting 6 years now and counting, and who saw arguably a smaller settlement than many had hoped for in the civil case, what would you suggest for the state's quest for accountability in situations where it truly is merited?
No doubt that you hear people say, talk is cheap. Well, the only way to get compensation in our civil justice system is with money. And I've also heard the critics say that the settlement was not enough. I don't have a retort for that because I wasn't involved in the litigation. I wasn't one of the lawyers, but the lawyers know the case better than anybody. And the alternative to settling is having a trial. And what if they'd gone to trial and a jury returned a much smaller verdict than what the settlement turned out to be? Obviously, the criminal justice system is there for cases where crimes can be proven beyond a reasonable doubt and are. But we have a unique jurisprudence and philosophy that protects civil servants and public officials unless they act completely outside of the scope of their role, their employment, their job. Otherwise, immunity is a concept that we have to guard very jealously, because the policy approach is, let's let people who take the office do their job and not be afraid to make mistakes.
It sounds like you're saying that there isn't really an option for accountability outside of the civil system.
Well, we certainly have the public discourse, and I think that's important. I know a lot of people will say talk is cheap, but the discourse is important. At this very dangerous time in our democracy, I think we need to learn to listen to each other, talk with each other, and live together as brothers and sisters, lest we perish as fools. I'm quoting Dr. Martin Luther King from, I think, March 1964. We've got to stop. We've got to stop yelling at each other and putting on those jerseys for the Democrats and the Republicans. Take your jersey off for a minute and just be a member of the human team.
It is perhaps easier to do when one's children are not dealing with the ongoing special ed needs, if there are not those health needs that persist even to this day.
Oh, that's so true. And, you know, I hear the stories and I wish more media covered the individual stories of folks going through that to let their voice be heard. Some of those stories are impactful. They are to me. And I think we need to continue to let those voices speak.
Mike Nichols, attorney, is based in Lansing. Mike, thank you very much for talking through these issues with us.
April, thank you for having me.